Welcome to Raw Talk here on M88. I am your host, Yo. Thanks for joining me tonight. We're going to have a rollicking good time this evening as I have a full studio of guests and a guest on the phone this evening as we talk about the hardcore Christian gamer. And for some people, that's actually an oxymoron. How can Christianity and gaming go hand in hand? More than that, we're not just going to talk about Christians playing games. We're going to talk about Christians using games to share Jesus Christ with other people. And that is a thought that probably some people haven't even considered yet. I'll be honest, it was a fairly new thought for myself when Steve-O and Deez, who are joining me in studio, came up with an idea for something they want to do. We also have Drew Kaler from HardcoreChristianGamer.com. They also have a very unique ministry when it comes to gaming themselves. And so we're going to cover a lot of ground tonight. And with all these people ready to talk, we're just going to dive right in. First, I want to introduce Drew Kaler. He's from HardcoreChristianGamer.com. They do prayer groups and Bible studies and all kinds of things connected with gaming. Drew, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Hey, thanks again for having me. Oh, I'm really, really excited again to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to chat with you again. I had you on the morning show about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, talking about this very topic, and I'm glad you could join us tonight. Also, we have Steve-O from the M88 Afternoon Show in studio, and then Deez, who does nights on M88. And something that we all have in common, we all like to play video games. So, Steve-O, thank you for joining us.
Oh, dude, you could tell we all have a passion for it because we're all crammed in this little bitty room to do the show. But I've been a gamer since I was like 7 years old when I got the first NES, and now I love it, bro. I'm excited to be here.
Cool show. And Deez is also joining us. Deez, thank you for sharing your time tonight.
Hey, no problem, man. Thanks. It's good to be here. I'm excited. This is a topic that, you know, as you guys already mentioned, not to beat a dead horse, which I'm doing, is that we all love video games. So it's really good to get together and talk about this, especially when it comes to ministry. I think it's a very untapped resource that we can use. So.
And just a quick note so everyone knows, we are doing a little experiment tonight where we're videotaping tonight's program.
Hey!
Hey. we're going to post that online, and we'll see how this experiment works out. Well, let me start off with you, Drew, really quick. What I'd like you to do is explain your vision and your goal for Hardcore Christian Gamer and the ministry that you guys do, specifically the prayer groups and whatnot that you do with some online gamers.
Okay, well, what we really do is we've become a collective hub of Christian gamers who, of course, are kind of tired of all of the drama that goes with gaming when it comes to getting cursed out and all those ungodly type things that happen online. And that was our main motivation to start, so that we could game together with other Christians and be, you know, feel comfortable and safe, you know, online, and not have to really worry about your ears bleeding over some profanities and stuff like that. And what it really molded into from just a network hub of Christians, now it's more of its own unique ministry, such as we do prayer meetings on Thursdays and Sundays. We also we have a Bible study group that meets together on Sundays and goes over different Bible study lessons. And we also take up donations to give Nintendo Wii and some games to local orphanages, so for the kids to play. And you know, we really want to make it to where Christians in gaming are not given the stigma that most have, and also that Christians can game and should feel comfortable gaming and being able to defend themselves. And what better way to do that than with a group of guys that think alike? So that's pretty much our goal and our vision, and there's so much more that we're planning on doing in the future. But for right now, I mean, I think we were off to a really good start, and we have a huge group of guys that are together, and there's only more that God can do in bringing us closer together online.
Well, I came across your guys' ministry kind of by accident because a guy who goes to the School of Ministry here mentioned you, and so I got a chance to look you up, and it was kind of cool because your passion and your heart, not just for gaming, but for, you know, following Christ, kind of went hand in hand with ours,
right?
Including me, Steve-O, and Deez. And so that was cool that we were able to make that connection. Now, Steve-O and Deez, you guys play a game constantly.
to
takes
you.
Up a lot of your life. But what got me excited, because beforehand, I'll be honest, I was kind of rude to you and made fun of you.
That's okay. That's normal.
We're used to it. The Lord says it will be persecuted. So, you know, he was persecuted first. So.
My yo.
I don't think that's in there.
Okay.
No.
But
no.
What you guys started talking about doing got me really excited about some possibilities. Why don't you explain a little bit about your idea and what you want to see happen?
Okay. Well, I remember the game you're talking about is World of Warcraft, and me and Brian are... Man, I don't want to say addicted, because we're not addicted.
You are. You can say it.
We can stop anytime we want. But we play
after
this game a lot.
After we get to level 70, okay, right. Just confess.
There's about 9 million people playing this game right now. I think they just hit 9 million, right?
Yeah, in July it hit 9 million people, and we do play it, and I think it just opened up all sorts of avenues for just ideas to share the gospel with
Absolutely.
People. I mean, you're in a place where, yes, it's cyberspace, but you have 9 million people gathering to go do quests and join guilds and basically fellowship and hang out with each other and treat each other however their worldview dictates.
Right.
And it just became such an obvious thing that, hey, maybe we should do some sort of ministry involving World of Warcraft. And the idea we kind of threw back and forth was creating a guild that is to minister to people.
Now, for those of you that aren't savvy to the nerdy gaming thing,
which I just did completely, so I apologize.
A guild is a group of dudes who roll together, I guess, and rock it together and do whatever together. And we decided we were going to start. Well, this was actually your idea, Brian, to start this guild and do a basically an online Bible study. Especially now, World of Warcraft has just gone voice chat, so now you can pretty much talk to anybody in this world.
We need to paint the picture
absolutely.
For people here. When you guys are talking about doing an online Bible study, you're not talking about posting something online for people to read. You guys are going to be in character dwarves and elves and all
and
this
Draenei,
crazy.
Okay. So don't forget about me.
You're all
going to
gather in this virtual world as all these crazy characters and have a Bible study. Basically, in another world.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing about that, though, is it's not like, yes, we have these different characters, like I'm a dwarf or whatever, and like Dee said, he's a Draenei, or I don't even know how to pronounce it, but.
I don't either. I am one, and
but
I don't know.
We're still human beings, and there's still a lot of human beings, 9 million, over 9 million now, on this game that need that hope that's only found in Jesus Christ, and it's not like we're on there going, "Thou hast come to thee, Steve-O, in the land of Gilneas, to share thy..." You know, no, dude, we're still... I'm talking like this, and just whatever's on our heart, whatever's on our mind, and there's etiquette to online gaming, and unfortunately, a lot of people don't follow that etiquette because, well, they're just trying to get ahead or whatever they're trying to do in this online gaming community, and so... It stands out when you're nice, when you're cool, when you don't cuss every other word, you know, when you don't do these things. And so our idea was just to go out there into the world of Warcraft.
Of Warcraft.
And that's what the Lord says, to go into all the world of Warcraft included. And we're just going to go out there and we're going to share the gospel with people. And I really feel like it is definitely an untapped mission field, because like we said, there's 9 million people on this one game alone. This isn't all video games. This is one game.
Right. And then, Drew, with a game that you guys have been doing some prayer meetings and other Bible studies with, Halo 3, which just came out, one of the fastest selling video games of all time.
Right.
It had close to 1 million people playing it online within the first 20 hours. Not even the first day, within the first 20 hours. I got home after I bought the game, and it was like 1:30 in the morning, you know, like 20 minutes after I was able to get the game and get home. There's already 75,000 people playing at 1:30 in the morning. And since then, they've had, you know, close to 2.5-3 million people. Basically, about 40% of the people who subscribe to Xbox Live, the Xbox, Microsoft's online service, are playing this game online. And this is a game that you guys are using to reach out. Explain a little bit what you guys are doing with Halo 3 specifically.
Well, specifically in Halo 3 is where we're doing our prayer groups. I mean, you can, when you start up the game, if you go into a matchmaking game, you can host up to 16 people in one lobby where everybody's just kind of talking and kind of fellowshipping, and it can get a little bit crazy, kind of like the four of us on the radio right now, where everybody, you know, has something to say and wants to say something. However, you know, the beauty of it is when you have one person designated as the leader, and then we assign different things to pray about. And we, like, throughout the week on the forums, we take prayer requests and anything that's going on, you know, in people's lives, or praying for someone, or praying about somebody's health, or praying about a job, or anything that somebody needs prayer about. They can come on, they throw it on the forums. One of our guys, he's one of our mods, Flyboy is his gamer tag. He gets on there and he compiles this whole list of all these prayer needs. And so when we get into this room with 16 of us, we designate, you know, okay, you pray for these, then you pray for these, and then we start, and then we all kind of agree in prayer as the person's praying. And that's the beauty of it, is that nobody tries to interrupt, nobody's rude. It's really a beautiful thing, and that's just one room. We have so many people that want to get involved in this thing that we sometimes have to open up a second room, you know, get 32 people in there, and then get even more if we have to. And that specifically is what we're doing with Halo 3, and I want to say I'm 90% sure that the guys that are doing the Bible study are also using the Halo 3 lobbies in order to do the Bible study. We used to use Halo 2. The only issue that we had with Halo 2 is because it was a prior generation Xbox, the voice chat was not as well maintained as it is now. So now we have crystal clear conversation. Before, it was a little bit harder to kind of understand. But, you know, that's ultimately, we do that, and then we play. After we're done praying, we get in there, and we join a huge game, and we all play, and we all maul each other, you know?
Well, and that's actually one of the issues that I think we need to discuss. And we'll talk about the World of Warcraft. They have some separate issues with that here in just a moment. And this really goes for any gaming type of stuff that you want to do online. You know, obviously, we have to exercise discernment in the type of games that we play. But specifically with Halo 3, I mean, yeah, it's beautiful. We get together, we pray, and then we chuck grenades at each other and try to blow each other off the map.
And we snipe each other in the face.
We snipe each other from hiding spots. You know, some people listening might be thinking, well, how is that a ministry? I mean, how can you reconcile something so violent by saying, oh, no, this is good because it's Christian fellowship and ministry? So, Drew, how do you reconcile this?
Well, you know, I get asked this question a lot, actually, and it seems it's almost kind of, excuse me for saying, but it's kind of ignorant for some people to think that, you know, going online and playing against somebody else is actually emulating real-life violence. I can understand there are certain people out there that probably should not be feeding their desire or their need to do harm to someone else by going online. Those are the type that probably need to seek some professional help. But for the most part, it's fantasy. It's not a reality. You know, it's like I said before, you know, people have football ministries, people have hockey ministries, you know, and that's just equally, as if not more violent than an online video game. You know, you got people that are hitting each other and competitive in that sense in these sports ministries. And then, you know, you've got guys that are sitting at home on their couch and they're in their pajamas or their boxer shorts playing a game, and the only, you know, injury they're getting is their hands slipping from the sweat dripping off of their, you know, their arms or whatever. So I have a hard time with anybody who takes a strong stance on video game violence being so unchristlike. I mean, there are exceptions. There are certain games that I probably would not play or would not try to use in a ministry sense because of the violence. You know, there was an issue, I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, but Jack Thompson, who is like the video game advocate for the violence lawyer that hates video games, and he, you know, he talks about being a Christian. Well, he just got sent a lawsuit out towards someone for they were using Halo to bring people into their church for these youth groups and these youth meetings that they would have, and the game itself is an M-rated game, so you can't even buy it unless you're 17 years old.
Right.
And to me, now that's where I probably would draw the line. If you've got, you know, if I'm bringing 12 and 13 year old kids without their parents' permission and trying to get them into come into church, and I'm using this game that by law states that they should not be playing it without a parent's permission, then absolutely, I think you've crossed the line and you've gone too far. Even if it's in the sake of winning souls over, I think that, you know, we've been given laws for a reason and we have to abide by those. But I just can't fathom Jesus looking down or being here right now and saying, you guys shouldn't be playing this game. It's violent. You need to love one. Because what, I mean, we're fellowshipping and really spending time and getting to know, and the older ones are really ministering to the younger guys.
Well,
setting the example.
I can actually think of a whole host of arguments to go with that, but here's a quick question that I'm just curious about. You know, the issue of having 12 and 13 year olds at a youth group playing, is there any way that you can verify age when you do your own prayer groups and ministry online? Is there any way that you check to make sure that these kids are either of age or have their parents' permission to be online playing Halo with you?
Well, that's a thing that I think has to be left up to the parents. If this kid got the game, he's either A, he's broken the law and he's gotten the game illegally, or B, his mom and dad have bought them in this game because they either A, understand or they don't understand. And that's got to be up to the parents. And I totally advocate parents getting involved in their kids' lives in what they're gaming. I certainly want to be part of my children's lives and what they watch on television and what they do in the game world. As a matter of fact, I got a message over Xbox Live today. A parent of a young boy said, "Hey, you know, my son plays Halo 3 online. I'm not really happy with some of the people that he plays against. How can he get involved in what you guys are doing?"
Hmm.
And I have no clue who this person is. They just out of nowhere sent me this private message on Xbox Live. So I think that parents are getting involved. And obviously, you know, there might be situations, and it hasn't come yet, but there might be a situation where I get a message from a parent saying, "Hey, I want my kid to stop playing with you because I don't approve of this." And certainly I'm going to respect that parent's wishes and desires, and I'm not going to backdoor them in any way.
Well, moving on to another issue as we talk about World of Warcraft, I mean,
right,
that's the violent side of it. And just this week, I've read at least two articles stating, oh, it's been shown with incontrovertible proof, you know, that there's a link between violent video games and violent behavior.
Right.
But for every study that I've read that proves that, I've read another study that says that there is no link.
No, right.
So, I mean, I find it hard to, you know, accept the fact that when a conservative Christian group says, oh, we've done this study and this is what it proves, there's always another study that. So, all that aside, you know, you can't say one way or the other. But the point is, exercise discernment. But
right,
with an issue with World of Warcraft, which is even more touchy than the issue of violence, is the issue of magic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, World of Warcraft, here is an environment very much like
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know,
Chronicles of Narnia.
It has sorcery.
Mm-hmm.
You have, you know, magician guys, and there's a lot of magic involved with it, a lot of dark magic involved with it. And so the question, you know, becomes, with all the things that the Bible says about, you know, you do not practice sorcery, you do not consult witches, or, you know, all that stuff that
right,
it lists in Deuteronomy chapter 18. So here you guys are taking a Bible study into that environment and saying, no, we can use this for good. Well, how do you answer the concerns about, but this is a game that involves, we've even talked to a pastor who was very concerned. It's like, wow, you guys are playing World of Warcraft? That's a little scary.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, oh, no, but we're going to use it for church. Okay, explain the reasoning behind using this fantasy land of magic for church. Anyone?
I think you nailed
the fact that we discussed this earlier, that it's fantasy. It is obviously not real, and I think he nailed it when he was talking about discretion. You know, I think I wouldn't recommend this for if my child was not old enough to play this, I wouldn't let them play it. I mean, it's simple as that. Now, That's all I've got.
Well, here's my thing.
Sivo's got a little something, and then that might trigger my brain cells a little here, because I'm
Nice, yo. You just stumped Brian.
I understand
he's just stumped D's, and now he's going to quit playing.
I understand both sides of the issue, so I'm going to go home and break the discs in half and throw them in the trash. Just kidding.
Here's the deal.
Here's
my big thing. Yes, I do understand that. And this is going to spawn a slew of other things, I'm sure, because this is much similar to
the can of
worms. To the Harry Potter argument, to the Lord of the Rings argument, to even the Chronicles of Narnia argument, because I know that same pastor we were talking to about World of Warcraft that he was concerned about is concerned about Chronicles of Narnia. He wasn't a fan of that either, and he says that's, you know, well, C.S. Lewis was
at least
mystic.
He's consistent.
He is, and you know what? Mm-hmm. I will give him that, because I know many Christians out there who are very anti-Harry Potter, very anti-Lord of the Rings, whatever, and then praise C.S. Lewis in Narnia. However, with this issue on, I guess from mine and Dee's perspective, there are two things. One, we are part of the Alliance, right? Which is the good guys that don't use. I don't use magic. Do you use magic? We don't use magic. You're a hunter.
I'm a hunter.
With a gun.
With a
just
pet
like
a, named
yeah.
Timmy.
And anyways, whatever. You could get into this whole debate of
level
of witchcraft.
Level 47.
Oh man, you could get into the whole debate about witchcraft and whatnot. But likely, it doesn't go anywhere because it's like, oh, they're teaching you witchcraft. All I have to do is hit F3, and so then you see these wizards walking around with keyboards now, hitting the F3 button and summoning. No, that doesn't work, okay?
Yeah,
obviously, it is fantasy. I think this is a big Romans 14 issue, where, for me, I believe that I grew up in video games, all right? I've been a gamer since I was 7 years old. My mom got me an NES, and I've had a video game system ever since. This is actually my first computer game. But all that aside, I've always been a gamer. And I'm pretty good at video games. And for some reason, I used to work at a video game store. I write for an online gaming, you know, website still. I mean, I'm a gamer. And I guess you could call it a gift or a talent or whatever you want, and some people would laugh at that. However, I'm using that talent, that ability, to the glory of God. And that is what God gives us these things for. Now, whereas somebody could say, well, I'm not part of, I don't understand it because I don't get it. Well,
fine.
What is your ministry?
Yeah.
I might not get your basket weaving ministry because I'm not good at that. But at the same time, that is what you are called to do. Mm-hmm. And that is what I feel. Me and Brian, I'm not going to say we're awesome at this game or anything. In fact, we're pretty terrible at it.
We're pretty bad.
However, being able to get into this place where there are 9 million people who, a lot of them, yes, need that love of Christ, man. We are there just trying to be cool and rock it and loving and show them that it's okay to be cool and rock this video game and whatever and still love Jesus Christ, you know, because a lot of people would say, would be the hater and say, I disagree with this and bah. And for my two cents, I am a believer who likes to stand for something rather than just bash everything. So
and you know, that was more like $1.50.
And you know, I think I just forgot what
I mean, nobody is saying, and none of us are saying that the only way to be a Christian and the only way to worship God is to come online and
right.
Pray.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
We're not going to that extreme and saying, we're saying that if you're already a gamer at heart, nothing's going to stop you from gaming. If they say that gaming is wrong, you're still going to game. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that these people that have been gaming since the NES, gaming since the Atari,
right. They're
going to keep on gaming. You know, we're providing that way to game basically for the glory of God. As crazy as that might sound, you know, we're told to do all things unto the glory of God. We're told to do everything as if we're worshiping God, and you know, we need to apply that to our gaming as well.
Now, let me just clarify for our listeners and perhaps do some revelations about the gaming community that a lot of people may not realize.
Right.
Average age of a gamer is actually around 40 years old. 83% of people who make the actual purchase of any sort of video game is already over the age of 18 years old. And if you break it down by, you know, platform, computer gamers, 36% of the most frequent gamers are under 18, 26% are between 18 and 35, 44% of computer gamers are over the age of 35. For consoles, it's a little bit more even. Mm-hmm. 40% of them are 18 years or under, 35% are between 18 and 35. 35% are over the age of 35. And here's something very interesting. 38% of game players are actually women.
Well, there you go.
And that's a demographic that's been growing quite a bit. But the reason I bring that up is because a lot of people have this image of the angry high school teenager loner sitting alone in the dark, playing some evil game that's warping his mind, making him want to go out and do something like Columbine.
Right.
And video games were often cited as a reason for Columbine. But the fact of the matter is, in the last, at least the last 5 years, gaming has radically changed into, I would think, perhaps one of the social events that people, you know, where board games were where families would gather and get together and play, or friends would do board games. The online gaming community, be it platform or PC, has started to take that, and it's much more of a social inter-network community than it used to be.
And I think that's something that people, and it, you know, it's not their fault, but like my parents, they're not. They're not super old. I mean, they're old, but they're not like
they're older than you.
But here's the, but here's the point, clearly, they're older than me by like 20 years. And Yeah, 22.
Just get a point out.
Okay,
bro.
My parents don't get video games.
Right.
They flat out think like
they're
I love them to death,
time.
But for the most part, it's like I don't understand, you know, and I can't do this. And I tried to show my dad Crash Bandicoot once, and I love him to death.
But
he's terrible at Crash Bandicoot, and he they don't get that this is something that a lot of people do, and a lot of people are willing to invest a lot of time in doing. And I think it's for us, it's like we love it. We're part of those people. Why shouldn't we use that as ministry?
And I think it's a generational thing too, because
it is,
gaming has come a long way in the last 20 years. You know, you look at the 8-bit Nintendo and then the Nintendo Wii or the 360 or the PS3, whatever you're going for right now, but it's come a long way, and it's just a different world. I mean, me and Brian had the opportunity to hang out in Seattle last weekend for the World Cyber Games. There were
I think there were 700 gamers. There were thousands of people there, and people were there with the I saw a guy with the Australian flag over his back
like a cape
playing Gears of War, and I'm
right.
like people are very passionate about this, and we should be passionate about it.
All
and
right.
share Jesus with them.
Now, here's the real question, because, you know, we're talking about all this stuff in very general terms, but let's try and clarify for people exactly what we're trying to say. Why should Christians view the online gaming community, the gaming community in general, as an unreached missions field? Which is basically what we're saying, because here's the thing. You know, we talk about the 1040 window. We talk about, you know, going to South America. We talk about going to Juarez. You know, we talk about all these places. We need to go to the places where the people are to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say something like, oh, we're going to do that with the online gaming community, and you get crazy looks. Why can we consider this as a viable missions field? Drew, why don't you comment on that first?
Well, I, you know, actuality, I'm not a very social person as it is. I don't. I could probably count the amount of friends that I have that are close to me on my on just one hand. So, but I could tell you that the people that I spend time online with are a great group of guys, and I that's how I really socialize is doing that. You know, because I got a family, I've got a wife and kids. You know, I spend a lot of time, obviously, with them, and I get my my fix of guy time, I guess you could say, online. Now, I don't think that I'm the only type of person that's like this. I think that there's probably, if you were to take all of the gamers and average it out, you would probably find over 50% that are pretty similar, that just, you know, especially the extreme, the hardcore gamers that spend a lot of time online, they probably have most of their social interaction online. So if that's the case, then the only other time they're interacting is if they're in school, they go to school, or if they have a job, it's interaction at their job. They might not be, you know, going to church or even being in a place where they can be reached in that sense. So why not for those guys who spend most of their time online, who prefer to interact socially in that sense, why not give them the opportunity to know who Jesus is? As well as anybody else that might go to a football game or might go to a pool hall or to a movie theater or, you know, to a coffee house even. You know, there's certainly, there are people that go witnessing at coffee houses. There are people that go to sports games and hold up the John 3:16 sign and pass out tracts. You know, because they're reaching people that spend a lot of time in that genre. And that's what I think that we're doing. These guys in World of Warcraft and the hardcore Christian gamers on Xbox and on PS3, we're reaching those guys that probably really wouldn't have a chance or might not be in a situation where they might get to know about the Lord unless right. It was brought to them.
Well, that was put very eloquently. Deez, you have anything that you want to add to that?
I think it is. It's an unreached people group, you know, and we use that phrase a lot. That phrase is used a lot in the church. And there are people that play World of Warcraft that don't know Jesus Christ.
Right.
There are people that don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. This isn't about going on and just like going in shouting a message. You can go in and type /Y and you yell a message
right.
and it's in red, which means it's really
Repent.
Important.
Jesus
so
saves.
That's not what we're doing.
No.
That's not what we're talking about is building relationships
right.
with people and showing them that God loves them
right.
and that he wants a relationship with people. That's what missions is all about. You don't just send notes and tracks and all that stuff. You send human beings
right.
to relate to people and to show God God's love to those people. And that's what missions yeah. is. That's why we feel like this is definitely something that's going
to absolutely.
Be good.
And but one thing to note that I would like to point out here and just clarify is I don't spend every waking moment, nor do any of these guys. It's mm-hmm. still in moderation because
yeah.
I just don't want to get the message across that, yeah, it's okay to play video games 14 hours a day because you're doing it for the Lord. And now there's some 14-year-old out there going, Mom, M88
yeah.
said that I could play video games for 14 hours a day. I'm doing it for the Lord, Mom. I'm
yeah.
doing it for the Lord. No, that's not it. But at the same time, yes, we definitely get out there and do that. But it still is a moderate. I still am very active in my church in real life, and I'm part of the worship team. And you know what I mean? So
yeah.
we still do need to get out there and interact because it's funny that we're all talking like this and so amped about it because I know when it comes to, say, email/text messaging and all that, we're on the flip side, or at least I know, yo, we've talked about this. It's like, where's the real human interaction? Where we're losing our communication, and then we're like, but we're at home on our computers reaching people for Christ.
Yeah.
And so there, I definitely do think we need to get out there truly
mm-hmm.
in a different way. However, you know.
Go well, ahead, there's yeah, a lot sorry. Of talk about using technology to reach out to people. When the iPhone came out, there's
right.
a lot of talk about, oh, how we can use this to further the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, and there's a lot. But you don't often hear that when it comes to video games,
right.
which, you know, when you look at the numbers, it is the leading edge when it comes to high tech.
Hmm.
So far as the number of people involved, the number of households it affects, you know, you look at numbers for how many people, how many households in America have some sort of gaming, it's like upwards of 63% to 75%, depending
right.
on what kind of poll you look at. That's 3/4 of America, basically, that is in some way involved in their household in gaming. And so this is something that has infiltrated our culture and society more than just about anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, because it's so often considered a toy, a kid's
mm-hmm.
thing, it's not often thought about how can we use this as a way to reach people with Jesus Christ. Now, you brought up, Deez, the idea of relationship, and there was an article that was posted online this week talking about using Halo 3 to bring people into youth groups. And the concern there was you're just bringing in people just so you'll have people there. You know, it's more about numbers than relationship. And, yeah, using games is a flashy way to bring people in.
What happens?
So you can have numbers.
Right.
But then it's like, yeah, but that's not really reaching people with the gospel. So, Drew, how would you respond to someone who's saying, oh, yeah, sure, you can get numbers by saying, oh, cool, Bible study with Halo 3. That sounds unique. I'll just go. And it's just about getting people interested. But there isn't really that relationship building that people sometimes feel. And I'd have to agree, is very essential
right.
to the whole idea of helping someone find Christ.
Well, you know, Jesus wasn't a rich man who was buying people into believing what he had to preach. You know, Jesus was out building relationship with his disciples and with the people that were following him. He would have conversations with them. He would spend time with them and talk to them and lead by example, you know, and he had a multitude of numbers. I would say that the first thing, you can't, you're not going to get somebody to believe in God by bashing them over the head with a Bible and saying you need to believe. Do not believe in that. I do not think that that is a proper method in sharing the gospel and witnessing to someone. I think the best way to minister and witness to someone is to allow your life to be a living example of Jesus Christ. I also believe that the only way someone's going to really truly know that you are serious about what you say in your belief and in your faith in God, the only way they're going to know is by spending time with you and not you sitting there trying to get them to believe and trying to get them to repent, but just showing them that you love them and that you care about them. You know,
but how do you do that when you're playing a game like Halo 3? I mean, how do you relate those things? And the only reason, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm sure there's people thinking, well, yeah, that's what I'm taught when it comes to evangelism. But how does that work when you're staring at a TV screen?
Well, through conversation, through, you know, spending time with, you know, you play one game with a guy, and then you invite him into your party, and you go into another game, and you play. And you begin to, you know, a thing that I practice is building other people up and commending them for when they do well in a game. And
I need to play with you more because I don't get that a lot.
Hey, come on.
Well, sure, and you should, absolutely. But, you know, it's there's so much negativity out there, especially in competitive gaming. And it's not to take anything away with WoW, because I know that there's a lot of negativity with other people there, too. But when you have short spurts of games where you're trying to get to the top, there certainly is a lot of negativity involved in playing with someone online. And of course, I've been in games where I've been on a team, and I wasn't the leader in the kills, and I had some guy bashing me, talking about my mama and everybody else under the sun, because I wasn't doing so well. And how did I feel when I walked away? I felt really bad. Instead, we take the approach of, you know, building them up and starting conversation, you know, talking about their life. There's a lot of people online because of the Wizard of Oz sheet of the internet. You don't see people face to face, so you tend to. I found a lot of people that really open up in conversation online when you start talking to them and just, hey, you know, so what's going on? Where do you live? What do you like to do? People start to really open up and express some deep hurts and some things that they're going through. And really, I mean, that's just God opening up an awesome portal into their lives. And then you giving them the encouragement and the opportunity to know that there is love out there and that somebody does care. There is so much more than just what they see. And I think that's how, you know, we take that approach of building those relationships, is really being a good listener. That's the best way.
Absolutely. And just to add on that, I mean, like you said, people, when they are in the comfort of their own home and they have a headset on, they are much more comfortable sharing something because there's not the stress or the because they're not in front of you. You know what I mean? And I find that people are a lot more open, like Drew said, to share with you when you're on a headset. Because, well, they don't have to worry about seeing you the next day if they don't want to, or, you know what I mean? There's,
right.
It's a lot easier to open up to a microphone, you know, when you're just on a headset. And so I definitely think it comes down to that being a good listener. However, I would say this on the flip side of that, just to get the whole thing out there. I do think that there are churches that just try and find what's trendy now. Ooh, Halo 3. How many millions of copies did that sell? We need to get that in this church right now so that we can get kids in the church, like you said, for numbers, basically.
Right.
And they're not building relationships because, one, it's not something they're passionate about. They're just trying to find the next trendy thing, the next gimmick to get people into the church. And when it comes to something like that, then I think it is being misused. I think it is absolutely wrong. But when you're talking with people like us who are gamers who play this already, it's just something we love to do and we're already in it. We might as well use it to God's glory because that's what we're supposed to do anyways, with all things, is to the glory of God, and that's what we're doing. And so I do think that there are a lot of people out there mistreating it and just trying to find that next big thing, especially, well, like we said, Halo 3 right now, it's huge. It's on Coke cans. It's on everything, you know. There's a Pontiac. There's a Halo 3 Pontiac right now.
Yeah,
so,
it's Mountain Dew.
Yeah, sorry, guys. I just get a little heated when we talk about stuff like this.
All right, now, let's talk about this really quick. There's a couple more things I want to cover before we get to the end of the hour. We got about 15 minutes.
Okay.
So everyone keep that in mind.
All right.
Two more main points I want to cover as we go through this. First of all, how do we maintain integrity and purity when we're in an online community? Let's face it. There is a lot of trash when it comes to gaming. Right. There's no doubt about that. So how do we know when we're not compromising ourselves in what we, like we pointed out earlier, oh, it's in the pursuit of God's kingdom and right. for it's for his glory. So how do we know when we're not just using that as an excuse to compromise something that we shouldn't compromise on? We're like, well, normally I wouldn't do this, but you know, these people need to be reached, so it's for God's glory. I'm going to go ahead and do that. So how do we maintain, you know, what Romans 12:2 tells us to do not conform to the world, or what 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 15, do not love anything in the world. I mean, how do we maintain that balance? I'll start with D's.
We know what sin is as Christians, you know, and there's people who don't. And I know when I cross a line outside of the world. I know when I cross the line, period, that I shouldn't be doing. If I shouldn't be doing it in my house or at work or at church, I shouldn't be doing it online, you know. And Steve-O and I play together constantly, and we, you know, I think we're able to hold each other accountable.
Right.
Because we, as soon as we get on, as soon as I log on, he adds me to his group, and our headsets are instantly locked together. And so we'll hold each other accountable to those things. And if it's, whether it's, if there's like a language issue or something we should be doing, we should, you know, the way I'm treating someone or treating him, he needs to hold me accountable, and I'll hold him accountable.
Plus, there's also in, I mean, this just goes for World of Warcraft. I play, you know, Halo or whatever online. I have an Xbox. I rock all of them online. I play a lot of online games. But there's etiquette out there, you know, and a lot of people don't use that etiquette. I know, you know, say you're, I won't give a specific example, but a lot of people misuse that etiquette. And so just to be out there and, yeah, it sounds lame or cheesy. Your little character is actually being genuine, as it were, as genuine as a little 3-foot-tall dwarf can be. And using that etiquette, people actually notice that. People, you know, and then they can whisper to you, hey, man, thanks. That was really cool. Or, you know, whatever. And it's little things like that. Then you can get them to our, we have this guild. Hey, why don't you come check out our guild? You know, obviously we're just getting it started and we'd love to get it expanded more and more. But, that's how you do it. You just start those little things. I think it really is those little seeds that you plant, and maybe they don't decide to hang out right then and there. Maybe they go off and kill a bunch of spiders or whatever it is they're doing, go mine some gold. but eventually you'll see them again. You can add anybody to your friends list. I have about 100 people on my friends list.
Really?
I don't know who like 3/4 of them are. However, when they get on, it's like, hey man, how you doing? Yeah, okay, cool. You can talk to them anywhere in the world, you know, and so just maintaining those relationships. And like he said, that accountability, you know, amongst us is very important, and just the discipline of going, okay, I'm not going to do this. I will not do this. And the funny thing is, when you mentioned earlier the witchcraft thing, it was the first time it's ever actually even like popped into my brain, really, minus talking to that pastor that one time. It's like, you know, I've never really thought of it like that. And I know the Lord is, I know where my discernment stands, and I know that if something's not cool, the Lord is going to go, hey, dude, you probably shouldn't be rocking that, in which case, I'll step back, and I will concede, you know? So, anyways,
Drew, you got anything you want to add?
Yeah, I think you guys hit the nail on the head. Accountability is total key, and that's with any relationship, whether it be online or offline. You know, I would pray that everybody would have one person or two people to go to that would hold them accountable and hold them to the standards that they know is correct. And there's been, numerous times that I've had to hold someone accountable to our standards as a Christian. You know, there's been, you know, in competition, it's easy to get heated. It's easy to get upset and want to say something to somebody. And there's been times where we've had a couple members who've said something to someone, and I've had to, you know, a private chat them and say, hey, listen, man, you know, what you're doing is not setting a good example.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's key above all is accountability. And that's what guilds are for. That's what, you know, groups like Hardcore Christian Gamer are for, is because you can game online with somebody that you know is going to hold you accountable and that you will do as, to them as well. Now, and also about etiquette, I think that you know, people noticing, you know, it is kind of a, there is an etiquette, but there's not a lot of etiquette when it comes to a lot of these kids that get online, or a lot of people who have that veil, they can't see you face to face, so they will say things to you that they would never say in person. And that can go both ways, good and bad, and usually it happens to be bad. But people notice when we don't do that. People notice when we're not cursing, or when we're, you know, after a game, we meet up back up in the lobby and we're like, hey, great game, guys, thanks for playing us. They're like, whoa, you know, we just rocked you guys, you know, badly, and you guys are still saying thanks and great game. I mean, that those little things, those little seeds, people start to notice that.
Right. Well, one other thing I wanted to cover before we get to the end of tonight, and this is perhaps the most important thing that we need to cover. Is there any scriptural precedence for what we're talking about? This idea of using something like video games to spread the message of Christianity. I mean, where can we go in the Bible? Because, you know, it's one of those things where, yeah, it sounds good, but, you know, the ends doesn't always justify the means.
Right.
So the question really boils down to, can we say, well, this is something that we can back up with Scripture? What would you say, Drew?
Well, okay, well, you're going to have to excuse my lack of recalling Scripture right now, but there's a couple things that I remember. Of course, you know, in Matthew, I believe it's 28, where Jesus says to go, therefore, into all the world, into all nations, and teaching. That would be my first thing that I would say, is because, you know, the online entity is a world in and of itself, and I would say that that's the first thing that I would say is what we need to do. The second is when Paul says that I've become all things to all people, and there are, again, we've been talking about it all night, there are people out there that this is the only way that they're going to be reached, because they spend all of their waking hours, they spend 14, 15 hours a day online. They never get a chance to do anything else. And what other way can they get reached? And so even if it's just one person that we reach and that gets saved and gets to get a learning knowledge of Jesus Christ, then I think that we've accomplished our mission. So those were the two scriptures that come to my mind first and foremost without being prepared. So
that's pretty good.
I would absolutely agree. And to add, just say, a lot of times people look at this gaming, and we talked about this earlier, people need to realize it's not fake. These are real human beings out there playing a video game. Human beings who, as we said, still need that hope, that love of Jesus Christ. And so, as he put it, absolutely, Drew, I agree with going into all the world, because it's what we're called to do. And yes, it's still a part of the world. They're not on some weird, freaky planet, you know, that
yeah.
They're human beings, okay? And it's just another place that they're at, you know. It's no different than going downtown to UNM area and preaching the gospel down there, minus the fact that you're face to face. They're still human beings, and we are trying to infiltrate that area. Let's take it back for His kingdom, you know. So I absolutely couldn't agree more. And as he put Paul as well, you know, we are all things to all people, so that, you know, we may win a few, and that's what we're trying to do, is just reach some people, man.
I think Paul gave us a great example of that when he went into the temple and the synagogue. Wherever he went and ministered to people, he went in, and he went in on their terms, and he talked with all the philosophers and all the thinkers and all these people that you probably wouldn't normally associate with. He went in, and this was a radical new idea, preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, and he went and he did it where they were.
Right.
He didn't go stand outside of the synagogue and say,
repent, hey, you guys want to come out here and talk about philosophy?
He went inside, and he went and he interacted with people, and he built relationships to the people to the point where they threw him in jail for it. And I hope that doesn't happen to us, but it's like, man, we should be willing.
I can just see you guys coming
so
the next
willing.
Day. Yeah, my character's
in jail.
He's in WoW jail.
Right now.
He's
being
prison.
Persecuted for talking about Jesus online. And then Drew will call up. It's like, yeah, my gamer tag's been temporarily suspended for too much Christ preaching.
I know. I say we laugh about that, but you never know. You know, it's the world we live in, unfortunately. But, you know, while we have this opportunity, you know, there, and a great thing that I love is, it's not just Americans, guys. It's worldwide.
Yeah.
It's people all over the world. And we're hanging out and playing video games with people where it's illegal, you know, to talk about Christ. And we're able to reach them in the comfort of our own home.
Yeah,
you know, they're coming to us. It's a huge untapped mission field. My brain is about to explode.
You're getting really, really
so
red right
I
now.
Just,
it's amazing.
Yeah, I just get excited because, you know, I really feel like, yeah, unfortunately, it is looked over a lot. And yet, there are a ton of gamers out there that are believers. I put my gamer tag up on my MySpace page for Xbox Live, you know, and immediately got some friend requests. I'm like, I don't know who you are, but we're cool. And it's like, hey, listen to M88 or wherever it is, you know, it's like, awesome, great, man. And so, yeah, there's a lot of people out there gaming. So why not use it to God's glory?
Well, let me tell you too, I do a weekly podcast with two other guys that are Christians, and we do, you know, we do game reviews and stuff from a Christian family friendly perspective. I got an email from someone in the Philippines who listens to our podcast, that had been listening since episode one, and we're up to episode 30, and what an awesome mission field that is. Then we got a guy from Denmark, and we've got guys from Australia that are just, you know, they're all combining together into this group, and it's just a blessing. It's really awesome.
Well, we're just about out of time, so Drew, why don't you tell people where they can find out more about Hardcore Christian Gamer, maybe someplace they can contact you if they have more questions about your ministry.
Well, absolutely. You guys, you can go to www.hardcorechristiangamer.com. We also go under the web URL of christian-gaming.com. You can send me a message on Xbox Live. It's my gamer tag is SOG9MMPreacher. And also, you can send me an email at contact@hardcorechristiangamer.com. We'd love to hear from you and really would love you to come join the community.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your time tonight, Drew. I really appreciate all that you've added to tonight's conversation and appreciate the ministry that you guys are doing. It was kind of a cool just
nice
happenstance that
yeah,
we came across your path. And so it's been a big blessing just to get to know you here in the past few weeks. And so thank you so much for your time tonight. And hang on just a little bit. We'll chat with you a little bit more after we wrap things up. All right.
Amen.
All right. That's Drew Kaler from Hardcore Christian Gamer joining us this evening, and we certainly appreciate his time. Now, Deez and Steve-O, you guys are trying to get this World of Warcraft church started.
Bible study.
It's a Bible study, you know. And
well, that's what church is.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Yeah, just a fellowship, man. Fellowship of the ring.
Wow. Good one. Can we give how people can contact us?
I was about to ask you that. How do people find out more if they play World of Warcraft and they want to do a Bible study as a part of their gaming session? What do they do?
It's really easy. We'll probably expand it to other servers.
Yeah.
We're on the Trollbane server. here's the thing. You can switch servers if you want to create a new character on our server. If you play WoW at all, I would really encourage you create a character on Trollbane.
Yeah.
Trollbane, mm-hmm. And find us. Steve-O's name is
mine's really easy. Steve-O. Stevo. Imagine that. I'm really, really creative.
I'm Mangler. I don't even know what that means, but it sounds cool. So Mangler. Just send an ad friend if you play it. Please contact us. You can sign our guild charter and scratch your name on that bad boy, and we'll get this guild started. So we're really excited about it, and that's just Trollbane, Steve-O or Mangler. You can email either of us. I'm Brian at M88.org.
Steve-O at M88.org. S-T-E-V-O. And then also, as Drew has a gamer tag, I do as well on Xbox Live. It's Steve-O J. Just Steve-O and then a space and J. And I'm also rocking it online a lot. And if you want to play in a friendly environment, there you go, dude. It's a cool way.
And all these guys also work with me at another ministry called HollywoodJesus.com.
That's right.
We do a lot of video game reviews, some movie reviews as well. So, but the whole purpose there is just to channel our passion for gaming and to do it from a Christian perspective. So, you know, if you're looking for guidance on games and you want to get some inside scoop on what we think about certain games, that's what we do the game reviews for. But even more fun than that, I think, is where we analyze the spiritual themes that we find in games.
Yeah, sure.
And how, you know, games can tell great stories, and the fact of the matter is just about any story you read, see, or hear is really just a reflection of the story that we find in the Bible. So that's HollywoodJesus.com if you want to see what we contribute there to the game section of that website. and that ministry. Well, to wrap things up tonight, we're going to take a look at one of those things that Drew mentioned and you guys pointed out, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 22 through 23. This is where Paul says, "To the weak I became weak, to win the weak, I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings." And, you know, for my gamer tag, you know, you have a motto.
When, right.
My motto for my gamer tag is actually 1 Corinthians 10:31, which says, whatever we do, do it for the glory of God. And, you know, not to be pretentious when I'm online, it's just the reference. I don't have, the whole quote there. But it's a way for, you know, when people see that to say, what's that all about? It's like, well, you know, if I'm going to game, I'm going to game for the glory of God. And again, the key thing I hope people will take away from tonight is that we want to reach people.
Right.
You know, gaming is fun. I participate in gaming. But I think I've never been more excited about gaming than when I came across Drew and when you guys started talking about what you want to do on World of Warcraft. And it occurred to me that this is a way that we can reach people, that we can connect with people in a totally unique and I never thought of a whole new way to reach them with Jesus Christ. Just to build relationships with them initially, to shine a light. I know it sounds so weird when you talk about it with gaming, but the fact of the matter is we stand out no matter where we are if we stand with Christ.
Exactly. And if the one thing that I would convey is if you're not a gamer, whatever it is that you are passionate about, use that to the glory of God, whether it's snowboarding, knitting. I mean, it could be anything. That's just really the purpose of the show in my heart, in my opinion, is to convey that, hey, we are to go out into all the world and be all things to all people, and God has given you these unique abilities, these talents, whatever they are. Use them to the glory of God and reach people wherever it is you are at, gamer or not, you know? Just go out there and do it.
You have any closing thoughts you'd like to share, Deez?
I think, just to kind of, we've been over this, but there's a face and a heart behind every person that is online playing World of Warcraft or Halo or Madden or whatever. There's a person there, and there's a person there that God loves as much as he loves you and me.
Amen.
And we should not be afraid to share him with people. We should not be afraid to live godly lives online.
Yeah.
I know it sounds weird, but I think we have to get this weirdness out of our head if we're going to minister to people. And Jesus loves these people as much as he loves us, and he died for them, and we should be stoked to be sharing that with people.
You know, and just the two games that we kind of focused on tonight, we're talking around 12 million people that
right.
could be reached. And
Jesus.
That's just two of the games that are online. And but let us also say, you know, Halo is M-rated,
right.
17 or older. Keep that in mind. World of Warcraft rated teen. So it's for older teenagers. Again, there are content issues. Be discerning. You know, use the scripture as your guide. Use your maturity in Christ as a guide and make wise decisions about that. Now, well, that's going to wrap things up for this evening. And like I said, we have most of this on tape. I don't know how that's going to look.
Well, we'll check it out and see.
Yeah, so you might be able to actually see this Raw Talk podcast later this week. Now, next week, we're going to talk a little bit about Halloween. Our guest, Sean Weeks, is going to join us as we talk about the church's history with Halloween. And actually, the church has a very interesting history intertwined with the history of Halloween, and we're going to try to unravel that. And then at the end of the month, a very special guest, Steve Russo, is going to join us as we talk how we can face, avoid, conquer everyday evil, especially in teenage through college years, all the evil that we face, sometimes that we don't even realize because it's disguised so well. So that's going to be a fascinating conversation as we talk about everyday evil and how we can stand against it as strong believers and help people who are faced with that. So Steve Russo going to join us the week after Sean Weeks. And then in early November, got some great shows lined up. In early November, we're going to talk about abusive relationships, a topic that affects a lot of people's lives, especially around Halloween time, one of the large domestic abuse days of the year, along with the Super Bowl and, you know, really strange events some reason bring out a lot of domestic abuse. And some of the top two are Halloween and the Super Bowl. So we're going to talk about abusive relationships. That'll be the first Sunday in November. So the next 3 weeks, got some great stuff for you. Hope you'll join us. And I think that's going to do it.
All right.
Is that enough?
That's good. Yes.
All right. That's it for this week's Raw Talk. I'm Yo. Thanks for joining us.